Now it is my pleasure to present Dr. Ernest Holmes.
When you and I know our relationship to this thing called life, we shall lose all feeling of doubt and insecurity. And in their place, we shall find faith and love, and we shall learn how to live more successfully. There is a key to this great change that can take place in our lives. A golden key that is available to all of us. It is available to you, here and now. Later in this broadcast, I shall tell you exactly what kind of a key it is, and how you can turn it in the lock of your experience. Did you ever ask yourself, "Who am I?" Or have you looked at yourself in a mirror and said, "Who are you?" If so, you have asked one of the big questions of life. For life can have a meaning to us only in relationship to this thing we call ourselves. Let's examine ourselves then and see what we really are made of. We shall soon discover that there is more to us than a rag and a bone and a hank of hair. For just as you stand before a mirror looking at yourself, so something else about you seems to stand apart from your physical body. For instance, you can count your toes and fingers. You can hear your heartbeat or feel pain in your body and still know that you are more than this. For without denying your physical body or its aches and pains, you soon discover that there is something about you that in a very definite sense seems to be separate from what you are doing. Your fingers do not really manipulate themselves. Your feet do not really walk, because if they did, you could cut them off and they would keep right on walking. When you say then, "Who or what am I?" you know at once that there is more to yourself than there seems to be. You know that your physical body and your environment. To that, you must add something else. Let's call it consciousness. Of the ability to know that you are you. Consciousness, or the ability to know, is the most important thing in your life. It must be this thing called life in you, acting as an individual, a person. But there is still more to it than this. For you didn't create your own consciousness. It came with you when you entered this world. Consciousness, or that thing which you really are, is the gift of life. It is God's beloved Son in you. But you may ask, "What is all this to do with my personality?" You may say, "I want a dynamic personality. I want to be somebody. I want lovableness and charm. I want to be creative." Of course you do. It wouldn't be natural for you to feel otherwise. But what is this thing you call myself? This thing your friends call you, the person that you are, this thing that makes you different from all others and endears you to others. It is this thing called life in you. You didn't even put it there. Walt Whitman said, "There is more to a man than is contained between his hat and his bootstraps." Jesus, the beautiful and wise, said, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." It is this hidden source of your being that you are looking for. This high gift of heaven, this thing in you that can mold and make your personality. This is your treasure of life. This is the source of your inspiration. There are hidden powers, undeveloped resources, unimaginable depths to your being, which you can penetrate and bring to the surface and make your personality what you will. But first, you must come to know what you really are and who you really are. For you are God's good man, and you alone can decide whether your personality shall be happy and whole, dynamic and creative, attractive or repulsive. You alone hold the golden key to the larger life. You hold it in your own hand. But you cannot use this key until you first consciously connect yourself up with that something greater than you are. Somewhere in you is the same imagination that wrote every book that was ever written, the same inventive genius that invented everything that makes modern life comfortable, the great artist who painted all the pictures, the one who wrote all the songs. The very dance of life itself is in everything God ever made, and it is in you. But you may ask, how am I going to bring all this out? How am I going to get it to the surface? How am I going to become that wonderful, dynamic person which everyone would like to be? Now, perhaps the best way to begin is not to try to be so wonderful or so dynamic. Don't strain. Don't wear a mask. Don't try to be anyone but yourself. All imitation is suicide. You are you. And you are real. And the coming to know the real you is not so much something you develop or create or compel as it is something you discover. Your first step, then, is as simple as this. Hook your personality, your physical body, your environment, and everything you do, say, and think up with what you really are, an individual living in pure spirit here and now. You see, God didn't make a mistake when he created you. When he implanted his own being in your life and breathed into you the life at which is breath, he made you to be happy and whole, complete and contented. You may start then by believing that at the center of your being there is a real person, a lovable person, a creative person. This should not be done with conceit or arrogance, but with the utmost simplicity. You must become acquainted with yourself. You must come to know that the real you is lovable, kind, happy, and whole. And of course you can't do this unless you believe the same thing about everyone else. Now this is going to contradict a lot of experience. And so does every great discovery. So does every advance in science. Whoever thought that nylon stockings could be made out of coal and water and air, or whatever else goes into them? You may be certain that whoever thought of it contradicted everything that had gone before. You may be sure that before ever it was formed, somebody's imagination conceived its possibility. And you may be certain that the inventor who conceived its possibility was listening to something in the universe and hearing it and following its direction. You will soon discover that thoughts of love drawn from your innermost self will make you a lovable person. You may be sure that the image of yourself in that mirror is a projection of your own thought, all that it is or has or does. All the power it possesses, you give to it, and what it lacks, you withdraw from it. You may be certain that if you become calm and poised inwardly, everything you do will be orderly, that if you love others, they will come to love you, that if you identify yourself with success, you will become successful. And you may be sure that if you find peace in your own soul, you will be bringing peace from heaven to your environment. Could you ask for more than this? Could you expect anything better? Could even God, in his infinite love and wisdom, have done better for you? I don't think so. The most wonderful thing about it all is that you really don't have to create this terrific personality people talk so much about. You don't have to influence people, as one so often thinks he must. All you have to do is to live from yourself, to express something which even you didn't create, and even you could not destroy, something which you can and should use. We are all cradled in the infinite. We are all offspring of the Most High, and there is in everyone a deep yearning, a great need for a sense of security and peace. There is also in all of us, in you, in me, in everyone who ever lived, feeling that there is an answer to all the demands we make on life. As surely as I believe that you live, so surely I believe there is a depth and a meaning to your nature, which neither you nor I nor anyone else has ever fathomed. An inexhaustible resource, a perennial fountain of life, and a person that surpasses in grandeur, in beauty, and in love anything you have ever dreamed of. As I mentioned earlier, there is a key to right living. This key is prayer, affirmative prayer. Prayer is our direct line of communion with God. Through affirmative prayer, we learn to clear our minds of negative thoughts, of doubt and fear. This we must do if we are to become aware of the presence of God within and around us. Let us then take as our prayer for today, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God?" Let us join in affirming God's presence here and now. Let us shut every other thought out of the mind, all the distractions of the moment, the doorbell, the telephone, as we listen confidently, peacefully, quietly. We live because life lives in us. We move because there is a universal energy activating us. We think because there is a universal mind thinking through us. We exist because the Spirit has seen fit to give us life, and God never makes mistakes. This is why we are the temple of the living God. There is a divine spark in everyone, in you. Therefore, say to yourself, knowing that I am one with God, and recognizing that all people live and move and have their being in that one Spirit which is God, I know that I am one with every person I meet, knowing that love must be at the root of all reality. I have a deep affection for everyone I meet, forgiving myself for all mistakes I have ever made and forgiving all others. I meet people in the simplicity of faith, in the harmony of peace, and in the joy of living. I sincerely believe that there is a divine presence and a law of good which attracts every person and everything to me that belongs to me, and which, flowing through me, reaches out to everything in my life with love, with consideration, in joy and gladness. I'm learning to salute God in everyone. I meet people naturally, spontaneously, and happily. It is my desire that everyone I meet shall be blessed, shall feel the warmth and color and friendship which I have for the whole world. I rest in this blessed assurance that we are all one in God.